This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow. So we're going to talk about office vacancies. That sounds friggin' boring. Don't worry. We won't spend long on it. Looks like there's a little addition to the speakers list at the convention for next week. That's a good thing. I'll get to that in a moment. A bunch of emails. The Supreme Court is still under attack. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show's final hour. I want to begin here. This is one of those things. You know how I talk about the bottom percent? I did a long radio rant on this. I think it was last week or the week before. About how me in my own personal life, I try the best I can in any way I can to find and cut off the bottom percent of everything. This goes way beyond politics. There's no way to do this, but if you could cut off the bottom 5% of drivers, there'd be no traffic. There'd be no traffic accidents. It's just a few people. Air travel. You know how I told you I went to Florida? I went back. Let me tell you something about travel. You may know this, you may not. One of the great things is the travel lounge for whatever airline you're going in. Now, when I was a kid, I always thought that was just for rich people. Hey, look at the rich people going in the travel lounge. You know who gets to go in a travel lounge? Anyone who has a credit card for that airline. So pick an airline, Delta. You have a Delta credit card? While everyone else is waiting out in the airport, fighting for a charger, uncomfortable seats, you can eliminate all the guy playing music full blast on his phone. You can be in the nice, quiet travel lounge on a comfortable chair with the charger. It's right there for you. I try to eliminate the bottom percentage of anything. It applies to sports fans. Well, I don't care whether we're talking the Lakers, Giants, whatever it may be. Most of them are wonderful. The bottom 5% garbage, loser human beings that ruin it for everybody. I told you I won't take my wife back to a regular season NFL game. Last time we went, she got hit by a flying whiskey bottle. Dudes puking in the aisle, fighting everywhere. Was it everyone? No, there were 50,000 people there. It was probably 5,000 dudes. Even probably less than that, 500. Garbage. I won't be back. It also applies to politics. When you find yourself in arguments with especially on the same side, like the Trump-DeSantis feud was huge. When you find yourself in arguments with the others, what did I always tell you? I don't care who you support. I told you who I was going to vote for. I told you I didn't care who you supported. But what did I say? If you're a Trump fan, the DeSantis people are your people. If you're a DeSantis fan, the Trump people are your people. The bottom 5% of each of those fan bases give everyone else in those fan bases a bad name. So I'd show up to work. I don't get this much anymore because the primary's over. And I'd have 100 emails from Trump fans. Have you seen these garbage DeSantis fans and what they're saying out there? And I'd have 100 emails from DeSantis fans. Jesse, these MAGA people are garbage. And I tried to explain, you're just talking about the bottom percentage. Most of them, you're all the same. You want the same things. Different candidate, maybe different styles, but you want the same things. So what I'm about to say, it's going to make everyone happy unless you're in the bottom 5%. If you're a bottom 5%er, you're about to find out, all right? Ron DeSantis was previously not going to speak at the convention. Now remember, Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, and if you're speaking at the convention or not speaking, it's because Donald Trump wants you to or doesn't want you to. It's Trump's world now on the official GOP ticket. It is. Trump gets to decide. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it always will be. DeSantis was not going to speak. It was just announced he is now expected to speak at the convention. Does this mean Ron DeSantis is going to be vice president? Stop. Absolutely not. He's never going to be vice president. That's not even in the cards. Stop. Does this mean Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump love each other and they're hugging each other and they're best friends now? I love you, Ron. I love you, Don. No, not at all. They despise each other. They have for quite some time now, and they probably always will. It doesn't mean any of that at all. What it does mean is this. Ron DeSantis, by accepting that invite, has set aside whatever animosity he may have towards Trump or whatever rift may still exist there. He's the best governor in the country. Get up and give a speech as the Republican governor, the best Republican governor in America, should obviously be speaking at the convention. And it's obvious he should get up there and say, I'm voting for Donald Trump because he's a Republican and Trump's the Republican nominee. And that's the obvious way that should go. And on the other side, Trump, he can't stand Ron DeSantis and nothing's changed there. But like anyone else, Trump can be extraordinarily petty. To not have him there anyway was ridiculous. Now he's set that aside to his credit and has very clearly said, Ron, come speak at the convention. Good for Trump, good for Ron DeSantis, good for everybody. That hatchet, at least professionally, at least publicly, should have been buried a half a second after the primary ended. It wasn't. We don't have to get into all the finger pointing here. It wasn't. That this is happening is a good thing. And everybody who's not a bottom 5% loser will understand that. If you're a Ron DeSantis fan, maybe you're not even voting for Trump. Maybe you hate Trump. Again, that's fine. You love or hate who you want. I don't give a crap. You're a Ron DeSantis fan and you're thinking, Ron, 2028. Well, this is a good thing for you. DeSantis should be up there speaking on that big stage and talk to the country and give a good speech. And that's a good thing. And maybe you're a hardcore Trump person and you hate Ron DeSantis. He's a rhino or whatever other things you've said. I don't care. Maybe you're never voting for him again. I don't care about that either. That's your business. I don't care. If you're a Trump fan, even one who hates DeSantis, it's a good thing that the most popular Republican governor in the country is speaking at the convention. This is a good thing. Smile about this. If you can't, well, I got some bad news for you about where you sit in that whole percentage thing. You're towards the bottom. I didn't tell you to love Donald Trump. I didn't tell you to love Ron DeSantis. I don't love any of them, so it doesn't matter to me. I don't care who you love. I don't care who you hate. And I didn't tell you to vote for any of them. I've never done that. I don't care about that. Your vote is the only political power you have. You use it whatever way you see fit. As long as you're purposeful about it, good for you. I didn't say that. But this is a good thing no matter which camp you're in. If you can't see that, you're a bottom 5%er. Climb out of there. You don't want to be that guy. That's a very good thing. Let's do some emails. Jesse, if the president wants to cut spending, truly, it's the easiest thing in the world. Veto and continue to veto until Congress believes you. Okay. Well, you remember what Jerome Powell said?
Back in February, you were on 60 Minutes, and you said the U.S. budget deficit, the national debt, are unsustainable. Do you still view that the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path?
I do. I tried to be clear that the level of the U.S. debt is not itself unsustainable, but the path that we're on is unsustainable, and I think that is not controversial.
You know the wildest thing about our debt situation? Is that what Jerome Powell just said? Everyone in power, they know it. Republicans know it. Democrats know it. Every single time there is a huge bill or a budget or any opportunity to spend money in Washington, D.C., both parties jump on top of it and sign it as fast as they possibly can, while at the same time knowing that this debt situation is going to destroy the United States of America. Think how crazy that is. I've used the example. I know it's lame, but it's so true. To know that the car is heading towards the cliff, and you know that if you press down harder on the accelerator, you are going to launch off the cliff even faster than you thought. You know this. You're looking out the window. You're driving it. You see the cliff. You're heading down the road. And you know if you don't stop, you're going off and everyone's going to die. And still, every chance you get, you mash your foot down on the accelerator to go faster. That's what's happening right now within our federal government. They all know disaster is coming, and it's coming because of this debt situation. We're talking austerity measures. You realize that? Austerity, slash and burn, all of it coming. They know it, and they're not doing anything. And presidents don't veto anything spending-wise. Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. Let's talk about why. Before we do that, let's talk about going off that cliff. As America goes off this cliff, things are going to change in ways that I can't see and you can't see. We can see some things we know, some things we don't. But here's what I know for a fact, for a fact. I am never going to look at my emergency food supply and say, man, I wish I hadn't bought that. That's never going to happen. My Patriot Supply sells four-week emergency food kits. They're $50 off right now, each kit. Get some emergency food for yourself and your family. We just went through a hurricane. We still have people all over this place with no power. Do you think some non-perishable food would be handy right about now if you didn't have power? There are a million reasons to go to My Patriot Supply and get something. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. That gets you $50 off your four-week food kit. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. It's hump day. All right, now let's finish up this thought here. Why don't presidents just veto spending bills? Any president can cut spending. The truth is, I tell you what, I'll put it this way. I've used different analogies when it comes to this before, but let me do it this way. I want you to picture this, okay? Have you ever, you know who Iron Man is, the superhero? Just stay with me. Iron Man, superhero. You probably know who he is. Maybe you've seen the movies. I grew up reading the comic books. People know who Iron Man is. In case you were born on the moon, he's just some rich dude, but he has a suit. Puts on this robot suit and he can fly and shoot lasers out of his hands and it's super strong. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me, Chris. Stay with me. Okay. So I want you to picture. I want you to picture. Just walk through me. Walk through this with me. You live right next door to Iron Man. All right. And so every night you see him fly out and fight bad guys, fly back in his suit. Sometimes he practices in front of your house. That's the sound he makes. She's flying all over the place. Iron Man. Saving little kids, killing bad guys. He's freaking Iron Man. Iron Man. Right? Now, you, even though you live next to Iron Man and he's really rich, so this wouldn't make sense, but you're really, really hurting for money. Bad. You've had to take a second job. You are barely covering the mortgage. Things are just not working out for you at all. You're not making ends meet. The savings is almost empty. And maybe you're in this situation right now. You are desperate. Well, boom. Tony Stark, the guy who had the Iron Man suit, he dies. You find out he was a big fan of yours, and he left you the Iron Man suit. It's yours, with detailed instructions on how to use it. The shooting, the flying, the landing, the super strength, the everything. It's yours. Here's your Iron Man suit. Okay? You with me? But there's a catch. To fly the Iron Man suit, it costs $1,000 a minute. $1,000 a minute. between the fuel, electricity, everything else, it's going to cost you, because he didn't leave you any money. He just left you the suit. $1,000 a minute. You don't have enough money to pay the mortgage. Let me ask you, can you stay out of that suit? You're never going to put it on? Ever? Never going to take it for a quick spin? Oh, 5 minutes. What's the big deal? I could, it's just like 5 minutes. Okay, 10. I got to do some loop-de-loos. Oh, there's a bad guy. I should go save this woman. Oh, there's a... You're never going to put that suit on? You're going to put that suit on. Very human nature thing to do. You ask why presidents don't ever veto the spending? Whatever your walk of life is, Republican, Democrat, whatever your background is, imagine the feeling. I'll never know it. Imagine the feeling of walking into the Oval Office and sitting down at the president's desk and being president of the United States of America. Secret Service protection. Kings from across the globe come and ask you for favors. Everyone you run into calls you Mr. President. Everybody. Think for a moment. Do the best you can to put yourself in that situation. There have been less than 50 of these people in all of human history, and you were just elected president. Now, veto a spending bill. You've got surely plans, things you want to do. And look, I'm here to tell you right now, I wish I would. I hope I would. And I'll tell you the feeling I have inside of me, I would. I'd do it just to make them mad. But what if I wouldn't? What if after all that effort to get to the Oval Office, I finally make it there? And what if I have a dream? What's something Trump has said? Oh, here's something Trump has said recently. Trump said he wants to rebuild D.C., put a bunch of new buildings and things up in D.C., revitalize D.C., you'd really remake it in what would amount to be his image. Remake it, make D.C. bright and shiny again. That's very clearly a project Trump has in mind. Well, we don't have any money for that. There's no money for that. But it's an understandable want, isn't it? President of the United States of America, D.C.'s kind of old, getting more run down. We can redo it. Oh, hey, President Trump, here's a $1 trillion spending bill with all kinds of stuff we can't afford. But hey, Mr. President, there's $20 billion in here for you to spend on that new Washington, D.C. Are you going to sign this or are you going to veto it? You just walked into the Oval Office. Your legacy might be a rebuilt Washington, D.C. with the name Trump on the side of every building. Are you able to veto that bill? Nobody wants to be the guy that stops the party. Once you get there, intoxicated with the suits, the Secret Service, the Mr. President, the power, the Oval Office, intoxicated with all of it, you want to do all the fun stuff all the other presidents have done. You don't want to be the adult. And that's what dooms us. That's why they don't stop. All right, I have some audio you've got to hear before I get to that. Let's talk about reality. You know, I was talking about how I was gone on Monday because that hurricane came through, Hurricane Beryl. And it really was just a Category 1. It's not a big deal. I've been through many hurricanes worse than that. But it's created a nightmare down here of power. The winds were bad enough that it just took out so many power lines. There are still so many people that don't have power. And this is just a couple days. It's Wednesday. That was Monday. Now, imagine you wake up in the morning, siren goes off, you have to run to a bomb shelter, and forget about no power. You come back and you don't have a home anymore. That's what people are actually living through in Israel right now. Showing up and the house is gone. Wife is gone. Dad is gone. Freaking horrible, isn't it? You want to go sign a pledge? It's just signing a pledge. That's all it is. It's just putting your name on something. Go to supportifcj.org. Go sign that pledge. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Speaking of Highway to Hell, heading to Milwaukee next week for the Republican convention. Got a little email about this from either a Milwaukee resident or a visitor. Listen to this. Jesse, there is a bar/restaurant in Milwaukee called the Safe House. You need a password to get in. It's a history freaks museum all geared towards spying and anything 007. You need to have a meetup with the fans at the Safe House because you can get your fill of history and satisfy your loving fans at the same time. By the way, there's no Waffle House in Wisconsin. Wait, what? There's no Waffle House in Wisconsin. Their version of Waffle House is George Webb. It's a great place to eat at 2 a.m. as the bars close. I love you guys. The Safe House. Gosh, I can't wait to go there. I've always wanted a Safe House. I saw a great movie one time. What, Chris? I saw a great movie one time with Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds. Actually, it wasn't a great movie. It was average, but it still would involve a safe house. And at this safe house that the one dude was guarding, they had all kinds of vials of blood and a big weapon stash and everything else. And gosh, I want a safe house just like that. Anyway, Josh Hawley was busy interviewing some judicial nominee. And you want to talk about a world of make-believe? Listen to these people. The medical industry and the legal system. Those are the two most horrifying things the communists have taken over. Listen to the people who make decisions that decide a nation.
What's this comment at the end of your article about the fact that judges must see the world through a secular lens, and when legislators blur the lines of church and state to enact laws that permit or prohibit conduct based on biological gender as only male or female, they place an impossible burden on the judiciary? What's that mean? The distinctions between male and female are a violation of church and state?
Judges have to be able to administer these laws. If the direction, and I have to tell you, I work really hard to get it right, to do exactly what Congress tells me to do and the legislature tells me to do. And as a result, if a doctor finds it difficult to identify at the moment of birth for certain children.
Is a law that distinguishes between male and female a violation of church and state? You say when legislators blur the lines of church and state and enact laws that permit or prohibit conduct based on biological gender as only male and female, they place an impossible burden on the judiciary.
I'm just going to pause. I'm going to let her continue. Remember this, especially Christians, remember this. They are after you. They are coming for you. They are coming for you. They are going to try. They'll fail, but they are going to try. They're going to try to destroy all of you. I know we want to believe that that's not the world we live in, and our fellow Americans wouldn't do that. They've already declared war on you. And so much of what these evil demons are doing now is them laying the groundwork for the final assault on the American church. That's really a big part of what you're hearing here.
So this is a First Amendment violation?
If what you are telling judges is that in order
to I'm not telling you anything. I'm reading you your comments, and I am asking you if you are still committed to these, and it sounds like you are. I have to tell you, I think these positions are insane. I think the idea that laws based on the distinction between male and female are a violation of church and state is insane. Totally insane. I think the idea that laws that would say women's locker rooms are protected from biological men, that those are impermissible, that's insane. But that's what you say in this article. You're going to have to recuse yourself in a lot of cases, aren't you?
I should note about that special safe house place in Milwaukee where you need a password to get in. What, Chris? I'm not off this yet. I'm not going to say the password. The guy who sent the email in, he sent a separate email. I like his OPSEC. I like your operational security. He sent a separate email explaining what the password is to me and me alone. So it looks like I will be the only person in there. Well, I guess all the emails do go to Jewish producer Chris first, so he probably has seen it as well. Chris, delete that email. That's just for me. Anyway, it'll be me in the safe house alone. I will determine if anyone else gets the password, which is very secret and only for me. So there you have it. Dear ye limited of musical tastes. Well, I understand and agree with most of what you say about demographics politics. For a while now at a loss as to why you believe a replacement birth rate and or population growth is necessary in all cases for the life of a nation. While I agree that a stable and solid population is necessary for the life of a country, what is wrong with natural fluctuations, including declines to a point in a nation's population? As we move towards a more automated economy, isn't a drop in the labor force and by extension the overall population likely, if not inevitable? Just so you know, I'm pro-life as well as pro-human and anti-communist. Okay, so that's a very valid question. A very valid question. Well, let me explain it this way. First, you know what's really unhealthy? And people are gonna get mad at me for this, understandably, but they are. They're going to get mad at me for this. I've always felt it was unhealthy for young people to only live around other young people. And I think it's unhealthy for old people, and I understand retirement communities and things like that, to only live around other old people. I understand why you would want to. If you're young, you have a young family, you want to move in a neighborhood with a bunch of young families. That way the kids can play and the other adults are about your same age. And it's more you understand these people. I understand that. And if you're old, maybe you live in an older person's community right now. I understand. You don't want to wake up to maybe they're partying late at night. Kids are screaming and yelling in the morning. You've already gone through all that. You want to live. I get the reasons why. I get it. I've never thought it was healthy. Ever to only be around certain age groups. In fact, remember when we lost our church, I told you about that, when they went all St. George Floyd and we were church shopping for a long time? One of the biggest red flags to me was if I walked in and I didn't see any old people. Old people have a critical place in society and they help form a balance in a society and vice versa. We walked into one, actually it was the first one we went to. They were lovely at the door. I think Ab and I were the only people who were under 60 in the entire place. The wonderful place is fine. I don't think that's healthy either. Young people provide a balance in a society. You need to have children, young adults, people in their 20s, 30s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. All these people are valuable. All of them, every one of them, old to young, provide a necessary component for your society. What's so bad is convincing people in various ways to not have any children, and then your society just becomes old. You want a great example of this? Go look at Japan and what they're going through right now. They don't have any young people. The whole freaking place is 60 years old, and it's devastating them. Just on a socioeconomic level, it's horrible for the workforce. It's bad. Now, if you want to talk about a natural fluctuation where fewer babies are being born this year than during the baby boom, I totally get that. That's understandable. But that's not what's going on now. What's going on now is there has been an effort, a very focused effort, to talk people out of getting married and making babies and convincing women that that means there's some kind of a failure. I am woman, hear me roar. And convincing dudes that women are evil and you should never marry them. And it's been a very focused effort, and it's hurting nations, not just ours, around the world. You can study you can study the health of most societies. Not everyone. It's not universal. Based on our young men marrying young women, staying married, and making babies. The nuclear family unit is the building block of every society. And they're destroying ours on purpose. That's what I mean when I say that. Good email, though. Decent point. All right. I have another soundbite for you. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. If you missed any part of the show, download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask Dr. Jesse. Friday's coming up very soon, after all. All right, I have a doozy here before we get to the office vacancies and a couple other things. Just remember something. The thing you can probably feel best about, even if you're not a gun owner, the thing you can probably feel best about is the communists have never and will never be able to achieve everything they want to achieve in this country while the American people are so armed. And they know it. And it drives them absolutely bonkers. I've made the comparison before. It's like they're within arm's reach of the crest of Mount Everest. They've taken over everything. And they just want to hurt you so bad. And it's so close. But you have so many guns and so much ammo. And, well, this is Bonnie Coleman. She's one of these dirty communists from New Jersey.
I think it was a wonderful idea that we have a registry of every gun that is owned by a civilian in the United States of America, because then we could have perhaps less killings in our neighborhoods, less killings at our supermarkets, less killings at our concerts, less killings, period.
Of course, Bonnie's not an idiot. Well, I take that back. Yes, she is. But Bonnie understands that that's not at all what a gun registry would be used for. The government wouldn't be using it to prevent any mass shootings in schools. They wouldn't be using it to protect any Democrat voters from looting the local gas station or whatever they're looting these days. The gun registry would, of course, be for you. Oh, we saw that thing you posted online about how much you hate Joe Biden. We're going to have to come in there and collect all those guns you registered. It is the pinnacle for these people. Disarming you, it's not just one step. It is a necessary step. They can never do all the things to you they really want to do without that. And that you should feel very, very good about. You probably shouldn't feel good about this. Do you remember during COVID, if you were listening back then, do you remember at the beginning of COVID, do you remember there was this insanely handsome bilingual radio host who was warning about, well, many things, but something specific when it came to real estate and banking? Do you remember what that very handsome bilingual radio host said back then? Here, let me remind you. I forget his name. I think it starts with a J. I think his last name starts with a K. Anyway, what he said was, what we're doing is we're remaking the American economy and we're going to create a commercial real estate bubble that is going to wipe out many things, including much of the banking sector in this country, because we are forcing people to stay home. Offices are vacant. That means skyscrapers are vacant. That means people aren't going to be able to pay their bills, and the bills they need to pay are bills they have to pay to the bank. And so now when one person can't pay his bill to the bank, that's that person's problem. When 100 businesses can't pay their bills back to the bank, it becomes the bank's problem. Yes, I know I manipulated a very old quote, but I'm not at all above stealing other people's material to make my show better. You understand the point. Anyway, here's a headline for you. Office vacancy hits a record high. I think it was last year. You've seen pictures of New York City. Maybe you're in New York City. All those skyscrapers. 50% of the office space in New York City, I think it was last year, if not the year before, was empty. Those are buildings and the building owners are not going to be able to make the rent, not going to be able to make the mortgage. And the banks are going to crumble because of this commercial real estate disaster created by the federal government because of a bad chest cold. How about that? You know, it's not all bad news. The good news is, hey, we still have Pure Talk. With all the bad out there, all the ugliness out there, you don't have to support a cell phone company that hates your freaking guts. You could just switch to Pure Talk, the patriotic one that not only loves you, they share your values. They promote your values. You understand that it costs more money to hire Americans than it does foreigners, right? That's why businesses love these illegals. You understand that Pure Talk's customer service team, they're all Americans. It's not just that they're based in America. They're Americans who speak English. That's how much Pure Talk values America and being an American. That's awesome. Pick up your phone. It takes 10 minutes on the phone to switch to Pure Talk. You keep your phone. You keep your number. When you switch now, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250-SAY-JESSE-KELLY. #250-SAY-JESSE-KELLY. Switch to Pure Talk.
And now...
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Senators seek special counsel probe of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Yes, just a reminder to you, they are laser focused now on a Supreme Court that is holding them back, and it's going to be an ugly future for the Supreme Court. Keep Clarence Thomas in your prayers. If you like your surgeon with a sense of urgency, that's white supremacy culture, this medical school says. You know, I just saw a video a little earlier today of a couple commercial airlines having a fairly narrow miss. And then I'm reminded that over 700 applicants who passed the test for the FAA to become air traffic controllers, they were rejected because they were white. And I want you to know that that level of incompetence has leaked into virtually every single part of this society. Communism kills. It destroys. That's what it does. Harvard leftist summer reading list recommends book on how to indoctrinate students with CRT. Again, be very, very careful where you send your children to college and grade school, especially your daughter. John Deere exposed. Famous American company soaked in disgusting wokeness, according to a new report. This article is from Red State. We're talking funding pride events for kids as young as three, asking employees their preferred pronouns. Bill Gates is their largest stakeholder. LGBTQ and race-based identity groups at corporate. Total commitment to DEI policies, yet another great American brand patronized by patriots of this country has been subverted and gutted by the dirty commies. And you should make your choices wisely when you're going out there, choosing where to purchase your next tractor or lawnmower. Me, I'm leaving you. It's just until tomorrow. Don't worry. That was a little too, it was dramatic. I admit it was dramatic, but I'm leaving you until tomorrow, and then we'll be back to do it again. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.